Good evening, brothers and sisters. Good to see you tonight. It's a blessing to be with you here again this evening. I want to look a little further at the subject that we began this morning, not so much the issue of government authority, but we're looking here more at some other subjects and some other areas where we can find some help from Scripture in understanding what is actually happening in our world and how we can respond to that and how we can deal with that. And it is really, really interesting times in which we live, but God is still at work, and if we trust Him, God's going to bring us through. No matter what happens, God is going to be with us. He's never going to leave us. And He's never going to forsake us. With the COVID-19, I'll just share with you briefly here a few things as far as just where I'm at in terms of my own perspective. I don't totally buy into all the conspiracy theories. I don't want to get involved in that. I know there's more to this than what's on the surface, but I just see that there is an actual virus. Some people have said that there isn't. I believe that there is. I think I had it back in January myself. And so that would be my perspective on that. I see it as a severe type of the flu. I don't see it as something much different than that. It does seem to be more deadly, perhaps, than other things we've seen in the recent past. And yet, people are dying of the flu every year. It's just an unfortunate reality that we face. One thing that I see, though, is that I see God has brought this virus actually as a type of judgment. Okay, I see it actually as the judgment of God. And if you let me explain that a little bit, I don't mean by that every person who gets the virus, God is individually dealing with that person. Okay, and so that every person that gets it, they're worthy of judgment and so on. But in general, I would see that God has brought this as a judgment on the world and that He has some specific reasons for doing that. If you look in Amos chapter 3, verse 6, I would give this as some support for this perspective. In the book of Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. We don't usually spend a lot of time in some of these prophets, and yet there's truth here for us. Amos chapter 3, verse 6, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city?" Evil here not meaning sin, but meaning some bad event, some bad thing which is happening. "Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" So I do believe that this is the judgment of God, and I think there are legitimate reasons that God has for bringing judgment. A few of them would be these: the increasing anti-God and anti-Christ mindset, particularly in the United States for us. We are seeing this waxing worse and worse. And people do not like to retain the knowledge of God in their minds. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to be bothered with God. And they have actually rebelled against God. And so God is responding to what is happening, and He is actually taking some steps to address that. We see the issues of sexual perversion and some of these other things which are at an alarming degree. And it just makes you wonder as you look at this, how much further can this actually go? Where you have men who act like women and women who like men, and we have all these different categories of people instead of just male and female as God made them. So there's a state of confusion in this area, but I see it more so as it's people actually rejecting God and His creation and just going totally their own way. God in His grace, and God actually in His goodness, cares for every soul. And it is His desire not to see anyone perish, but that every person would come to repentance. And so God is working. God is bringing things to pass which are dealing with the issues in the hearts of people. There are idols that many people have in their hearts, idols which they have raised up, that God is actually destroying. He is actually casting them down. He is obliterating these idols, and I'll share some of them that I see. Things that people have put trust and confidence in. Instead of God, they have put their trust in these types of things. Say, for example, your job or your wealth, putting confidence there. Technology. There are some that feel like technology is a solution to everything. But we see in this that the technology, at least initially, couldn't help. Whether the vaccine helps in the future, I'm not totally sure. Your freedom. Modern medicine, which has done great things, but with the COVID, it was very limited. Government. Affluence, and you could add your own things to the list. The idols that people have, God has been destroying. And in doing that, it is leaving people who were actually following these things or holding to these things, it is leaving them scrambling for answers. They're trying to figure out what is happening. What is going on in our world? And how do you work through it? People are looking for security and safety. They're trying to find peace in the midst of trial. And some, I don't know how many, but some are actually opening their hearts somewhat to God. They're actually giving some consideration there. And so it's an opportunity for us to be witnessing to them. If you have peace during this time, you actually have confidence in God, and people realize that, people see that, it is going to open opportunity for you to actually be able to speak to them. I want to look at the issue of separation or isolation or quarantine. Just look at this particular issue. In Leviticus chapter 13, you might want to turn to that passage just so you can look at these verses. Leviticus chapter 13. It's a big chapter. It's dealing a lot with leprosy, and what I see leprosy as is a type of communicable or contagious disease. Okay, and so God actually set up law, and He set up methods to try to address this disease and try to deal with it, and to work through that. Okay, for the good of His people. Excuse me. So in Leviticus 13, we're not going to read all of it. It would be helpful to get the whole context. But verses 26 through 28, it says here, this is about a person who has a spot. But if the priests look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. So here's a situation where there was suspicion. There was suspicion that this particular spot might be leprosy. And so there was concern, and yet there could be no definite conclusion drawn. And so there was a time of isolation. There was a time of separation for the individual. They were shut up for 7 days. At the end of that time, verse 27, and the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. For it is an inflammation of the burning. Some things we can learn. First of all, isolation or quarantine or whatever term you want to use is appropriate when there are signs or symptoms of a communicable disease. Okay? It is actually something which is, it is appropriate to do. As far as we can tell here from this passage and from some others, as I would understand it, that should continue until it can be determined that the risk of spreading the disease, if it was present, is past. Okay, that's the idea. And then another point, and this is kind of for balance, there's really no need for isolation or separation or quarantine if there are no signs or symptoms of a particular communicable disease. So that's what I would draw from this passage of Scripture and like I said, some others, but specifically here in these verses. So I'll tell you what I've been doing, and I don't know how you're responding as far as the possibility of maybe getting this virus, but if I suspect that I would have the virus, or if more so if I would suspect that I've been exposed, what I have tended to do is, before we would go and meet with others or, you know, have different situations of contact, I like to let people know, this is what's happened. This is what I know. There may be some risk here. What is your level of comfort? And I leave the decision pretty much up to them. If I have actual indications that I have the virus, then I just take it pretty much upon myself to try to provide some distance there, try to stay away, and work through that issue. So that's kind of the issue of separation. It's interesting that the Bible does give us some teaching on that. Okay? It gives us some instruction. I talked this morning about the spirit of fear. I have a picture of took on Sunday of a congregation there in our area at their building and their sign. And the sign says, parking lot service every Sunday, 10:30. All are welcome, or something to that effect. So still, this congregation is still just meeting in the parking lot. Okay, that's where they're at. And I don't mean to be critical of them. That's not my point. But one thing that I have seen is, and this has really been a challenge, I've seen the spirit of fear working. I've actually had my own challenge, my own temptation with this spirit way back about a year ago when this was beginning. I actually sensed a spiritual battle. I sensed the spirit of fear wanting to take over in my life. And thank God I was able to see it. And I called on God for help for that to go. And by His grace and by His help, it did. God has not given us a spirit of fear, the Bible tells us. He has not given us that fear. And we're talking here about a fear that torments. We're talking about a fear that takes control. It is not from God. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. This is Jesus on the water with the disciples. Mark 4, verse 40. This is after Jesus, well, verse 39, He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? That's a question I think Jesus is asking us. Why are you so fearful if you are? How is it that you have no faith? When we're walking by faith and not by sight, when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're doing the will of God, God is able to meet every need that we have. We have no idea what we're going to face in the future. We shouldn't live in fear of it today. We should trust God today and continue to proceed in our lives, doing His will, seeking to follow Him, and asking Him for His help. God is great. God has promised not to leave us or forsake us. God is able to meet whatever need we have in our lives. Whatever it may be, God is able to meet it. He will meet it if we call on Him in faith, believing. Let's not be so afraid. Let's have faith in Christ and trust Him. There's another scripture passage here in Judges chapter 7. Book of Judges, chapter 7, and this is with Gideon. And I would say that with this passage, and I'll see what you think of it here as I share, but the Lord actually brought this passage to my remembrance as this was a year or so ago. As we were dealing with a lot of these issues and challenges, so we're trying to figure out what do we do in terms of participation in the assembly, in the body of Christ, meeting together. What should we do? And I was searching and I was looking for answers, and God actually brought this scripture to my mind. Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Now don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that this scripture was written specifically for COVID-19. Okay, that's not what I mean. But what I'm saying is, I believe we can draw some truth from this passage that actually applies to our situation. Judges 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midians into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. People gathered for battle. There were 32,000 people, as I see here. And they were ready to go out to the battle. And God said, no. In this battle, I'm going to win the victory. It's not going to be based so much on human effort, but I myself am going to win the victory. You've got too many people. Verse 3, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. So you see what happened. Several things I take from this passage. One, the reality of fear was identified. Some were afraid. That's where they were at. Secondly, those who were afraid were free to go home. They were given that as an option. That was a legitimate choice for them. Third, those that did so were not criticized or ridiculed in any way. It was their choice. Okay? It was something that they were permitted to do. Fourth, those who were afraid could not participate in the battle. Okay? They could not fulfill, in a sense, the responsibility that they had to defend their people, that they could not do. And then also, kind of on another side of things, those who went home did not prevent the battle from happening. They didn't say, now the rest of you don't go, but it was just their choice to go home. And then finally, because they could not participate in the battle, they also could not participate in the victory. Okay, they were not able to experience God's victory in a personal way by being a part of it there. And so there's some other things I would draw from this as far as the situation with the virus that we're dealing with. First, if a person is afraid, they are able to stay home. okay? It's a legitimate option, and that's, if that's where you're at, it's okay. It's okay to be at home. If you feel that that's what you need to do, that is your choice. People that do that should not be criticized or ridiculed. Now, I will say this, if we sense there is the spirit of fear, if we see that this is the reason behind it, actual fear that God does not want us to have, then there's an opportunity for us to help, okay, to try to address that particular issue. But there should be no criticism of such a person. But the result is that an individual who stays home will not be able to participate in the meetings and the activities of the assembly. Okay, they're not able to do that. They will not be able to serve others in the way that they could if they were there. And, at least to a large degree, they will not be able to experience the blessing that comes from fellowship and interaction with the people of God. And so I think here we see a kind of a balance. We see that God actually, God does give some choice to individuals. And we all have to make our own choices as we face the challenges that we are dealing with. So one other scripture I want to share with you here in closing. It's Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. Scripture says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free." A little bit of a challenging passage to interpret, just those verses. But the gist that I get from that is Jesus is saying, I don't really owe these taxes. Okay? I don't feel compelled. Jesus seems to identify himself with the children, okay, in the verse. Nevertheless, verse 27, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take, and give unto them for me and thee." It's an idea here of offense. Jesus was somewhat sensitive to this, and so he tried to handle himself in a way regarding this particular issue where he would not cause offense. And I think that's something we need to be aware of also as we deal with the situation that we're facing. We need some sensitivity. Okay, we need to not needlessly be causing offense to others. And I think a lot of that has to do really with just the way that we view others and having respect for others and where they are at on this particular issue. I think we could take this maybe too far in some ways, in that we can't live our whole lives trying not to offend people as our primary goal, because we have other things that God wants us to do. So there will be some offense sometimes. We don't want it to be that way, but there will be. But there is some caution here regarding offense. Now, I want to give an opportunity, if you have anything you want to share, either from this morning or this evening on this subject. Maybe you have some thoughts. You've had a little bit of time to process some of the things, some of the questions from this morning. Any thoughts you have, any perspective, any correction for anything that was shared? Okay. Okay. So maybe if I could summarize what you're saying, let me see if I can, if this is accurate in what you're sharing. There's a sense in which the government has authority over every individual. So therefore, it has authority over individuals who are part of the body of Christ because they dwell in the area where that government has authority. But in terms of the church, its function and operation, they do not have authority. God has a separate authority for that. Is that? Okay, so that's what you're sharing there. Okay, very good.
Hey.
Very good. Anything else? Okay, if not, that's pretty much what I had to share, and appreciate your participation and also just being here again. Really has been a blessing to me, and I appreciate that very much. We're going to be leaving right away. We're planning to leave tomorrow from a little further south of here early in the morning, so we're not going to stay much longer, but I'll say goodbye to you now, and God bless you. I want to encourage you to continue in the faith, continue doing the things that God wants you to do, okay? Seek His face. Seek His direction. God will guide you. And He will meet your every need. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's still on the throne. God bless you. Let's have a verse of song.